Hello, everyone. So, when I think about more of the dynamics of the women I was sleeping with in the past, it makes me think about how they even themselves told me that I was the only man with autism that ever made them feel at peace with their own womanhood, at peace with their own womanliness, at peace with their own femininity, and at peace with their own femaleness. They said to me, "You are living proof that autistic men are the best, sexually speaking, and the best at chivalrous gentlemanliness." And then they told me that you're also living proof that queer individuals are the best sexually and are the best at chivalrous gentlemanliness as well. Every woman I slept with knew that I had autism, and they well appreciated my autism. At times, they felt I was misdiagnosed because of my speaking style, my personality demeanor, and my sense of my own being able to do a lot of things for myself, my own independence. So there are people on the spectrum that speak, some don't, some are independent, some are not. Some speak like professors and some don't. So we all know those spectrum realities. They were saying those things because they felt like the fact that you're extraordinary, Antonio, often extraordinary people are misdiagnosed. Some of us on the spectrum consider ourselves extraordinary and some don't. That's a reality on the spectrum too. And I remember talking with these women in particular, and I came to the conclusion that I will receive these compliments that they were giving me because there's so many neurotypical men where their typicality is chauvinistic misogyny. And many cis-hetero men, their typicality is sexism. This is not a superiority championing in any kind of way, but these are the common experiences that many women have reported to me and have conversed with me about. And so I have a massive respect for them and their sentiments. When I think more about my time with them in the past, I also had to really come to the grips that these were women who were also appreciative of my queerness, and they received my queerness well. And how did I respond to their compliments at the time? Usually non-verbally. Squeeze, hug. It was squeeze, hugs, caressing them, kiss on the lips, kiss on the cheeks. Kiss on the heads, touching heads, and audible thank yous. And I appreciate yous. That's how I responded at the time. Because their statements were so much of profundity that all I could do was not have much to verbally state. So when I think more of my time with these women, it also made me aware that their number one reason for their insatiable sexual appetite, insatiable sensual appetite, an insatiable eroticism appetite towards me was because I was a hero to them without even trying. It was just me using my nature for their good and their greater good. And what does all this mean? I was the only male that they were ever vulnerable with. I was the only male that they were safe with. I was the only male that they could be honest with. I was the only male that they could share facts with. I was the only male that they can share evidence with. I was the only male that they can do research with. I was the only male they could study with. I was the only male that they can be conversant with. I was the only male that wasn't centered on sex and physicality regarding my dynamics with them. I was the only male that they could voice the struggles of being a woman in our global society with. I was the only male that they felt seen, heard, and affirmed by. I was the only male that never belittled them, never disparaged them, never reproached them, never demeaned them, never denigrated them, never decimated them, never degraded them, never devalued them. Never castigated them and was never hypercritical towards them. I was the only male that they could discuss politics with. I was the only male that they could discuss geography with. I was the only male that they could discuss philosophy with. I was the only male that they could discuss mathematics with. I was the only mother they could discuss science with. I was the only mother they could discuss literature with. I was the only mother they could discuss history with. I was the only mother they could discuss wedge issues with. I was the only mother they could discuss justice issues with. I was the only male that they could discuss neurodiversity, neurodivergence with. And I was the only male that they could discuss inventions with, too. Thought just popped in my head. I was the only male that they could discuss philosophy with, religion with, society with, ideologies with, theologies with, and schools of thought with. And I remember that I was the only male that they could cry with. I was the only male that they felt protected by in the realm of emotional closeness. I was the only emotionally mature male they ever knew. I was the only emotionally intelligent male they ever knew. I was the only emotionally well-regulated male they ever knew. I was the only intellectual male that they can be of intellectualism with. I was the only male that had a heart totally free of any and all forms of discrimination. I was the only male that never tried to get in their pants nor their skirts. I was the only male that never saw women as sexual conquests, contests, fests, F-E-S-T-S. That's also why they had an insatiable romantic appetite and insatiable interpersonal appetite when it came to me. And at the time, because they reminded me so much of my Grandma Clara, no incest though, but because my Grandma Clara at the time was my standard bearer of the excellency of womanhood in terms of the inner beauty of womanliness, I believed at the time that I had an insatiable sexual appetite, insatiable eroticism appetite, insatiable sensual appetite, insatiable romantic appetite, and insatiable interpersonal appetite toward them. Because we were good, courteous, and honorable towards each other. Even to the best of our ability, we felt like we couldn't get enough of each other's minds, each other's hearts, each other's souls. And we felt like the chemistry and compatibility of our memories, our bodies, was just so wonderfully irresistible at that point of moments in time, periods. And the women I was intimate with made it clear to me, I was the only male that never victimized them with objectification, which is the act of treating a person as an object or a thing. They made it clear to me I was the only male that never victimized them with dehumanization, the act of disavowing the humanity of others. They told me I was the only male that never victimized them with sexual objectification, the act of treating a person as a mere object of sexual desire. They told me I was the only male that never stimulated self-objectification within them, the objectification of oneself. And they told me that I was the only male that never victimized them with reification, the objectification of social relationships. They told me I was the only male that never victimized them with instrumentality, treating the person as a tool for another's purposes. They told me I was the only male that never victimized them with denial of autonomy, treating the person as lacking in autonomy or self-determination. They told me I was the only male that never victimized them with inertness, treating the person as lacking in agency or activity. They told me I was the only male that never treated them with fungibility, treating the person as interchangeable with parentheses other objects. They told me I was the only male that never victimized them with violability, treating the person as lacking in boundary integrity and violable, air quotes, as something that is permissible to break up, smash, break into. They told me I was the only male that never victimized them with ownership, treating the person as though they could be owned, bought, or sold, such as slavery. They told me I was the only male that never victimized them with denial of subjectivity, treating the person as though there is no need for concern for experiences or feelings. They tell me I was the only male that never victimized with reduction of body, the treatment of a person identified with their body or body parts. They tell me I was the only male that never victimized them with reduction to appearance, the treatment of a person primarily in terms of how they look or how they appear to the senses. They tell me I was the only male that never victimized them with silencing, the treatment of a person as if they're silent, lacking the capacity to speak. They tell me I was the only male that never victimized them with commodification. Which means treating a person as a commodity or an object without regard to their personality or dignity. They told me I was the only male that never victimized them with the male gaze. In feminist theory, the male gaze is the act of depicting women in the world in the visual arts and the literature from a masculine, heterosexual perspective that presents or represents women as sexual objects for the pleasure of the heterosexual male viewer. In the visual and aesthetic presentations of narrative cinema, the male gaze has three perspectives: that of the man behind the camera, that of the male characters within the film's cinematic representations, and that of the spectator gazing at the image. Looking back on it, I was intimate with them because I felt that they were the only group of women at the time in my mind that never victimized me with objectification, dehumanization, sexual objectification, self-objectification, reification, instrumentality, denial of autonomy, inertness, fungibility, viability, ownership, denial of subjectivity, reduction of body, reduction to appearance, silencing, commodification, and the female gaze. Which means I never felt that I was being depicted by them in the visual arts and literature from a feminine heterosexual perspective that presents and represents me as a man, as a sexual object for the pleasure of the heterosexual female viewer. In the visual aesthetic presentations of narrative cinema, the female gaze has three perspectives: that of the woman behind the camera, that of the female characters in the film cinematic representations, and that the spectator gazing at the image. I never felt that from them as group of women, so I slept with them for the same reasons they slept with me, to be honest. And looking at our time together, I remember with the children, some of them had children, and they, I was a father figure to the children and to the women, the mothers. And as a father figure to women that were not mothers, didn't have kids. that's how my life was back then. Because of how I was amiable and amicable towards women, I slept with entire boulevards, entire streets, entire avenues. Even entire neighborhoods, entire blocks. When it comes to just women in general, just slept with entire houses, entire apartments, just with women at the time. I remember practically, I don't know if I said practically, but I was basically sleeping with women, some within alleys, back roads, bicycle boulevards, country lanes, dead ends, driveways, frontage roads, green lanes, main streets, primitive roads, roads, side roads, single carriageways, single track roads, sunken lanes, streets, arterial roads, collector roads, county highways, express collector setups, farm to market roads, highways, link roads, two lane expressways, 2-to-1 roads, 2-to-2 roads, parkways, ring roads, super twos, trunk roads, highway systems. Bicycle highways, freeways, divided highways, elevated highways. I mean, that's where I met some of the women. So, remember meeting some women within, barrier transfer machines, bicycle lanes, climbing lanes, complete streets, contraflow lanes and contra flow lane reversals, high occupancy toll lanes, high occupancy vehicle lanes, managed lanes, median strips, motorcycle lanes, passing lanes, pedestrian crossing, pedestrian zones, refuge islands, reversible lanes, road diets, road verges, and runaway truck ramp, shared spaces, sidewalk pavements, shoulders, street running railways, and traffic calming and traffic directionality, WUNERFs, wide outside lanes, unused highways, truck bypasses, traffic signal preemptions, traffic lanes, traffic islands, where I met some of the lovers I had. Plus, they would drive me around, so go figure. So basically, in closing, that explains, I mean, this is we basically spent a lot of time being inside each other's personal space, holding hands, hugging, kissing, caressing, sexual activity, touching heads, massage, tickling, cuddling, and public displays of affection, and maintaining eye contact. Spent a lot of time making out too, and you know, intimate communication and high comfort, high effectiveness, high mutual experience of closeness as well. That explains the rest of my entire sexual past, sensual past, romantic past, erotic past, interpersonal past.